Hi, I'm Joyce Lamont. You're listening to the only station in the Twin Cities that plays music no other station does. Sinatra, Nat King Cole, and Dean Martin, KLBB.
And the voice of Joyce Lamont for over 50 years. Heard on Twin Cities Radio, first with WCCO 830 AM, and then with KLBB. Originally on 1400, and as time went on, 1440 as well, and of course KLBB now on AM 1220 in Stillwater. Reed Hagen here, good to be back on the air, and we wanted to spend a little time. Dan Smith, the owner of KLBB, was kind enough to call me and say, you know, how about you come back and do a KLBB Remembers Joyce Lamont? I said I'd be happy to. Joyce was such a huge, huge part of Twin Cities Radio. Now, a lot of younger people today, a lot of kids probably don't know who she was, but if you're a baby boomer like I am, you probably, with WCCO pulling in over a 60 share, probably heard Joyce along with everybody else. Joyce doing her recipes or her Best Buys and, of course, all the other great names that worked at the radio station that went on to come to KLBB through the years. We started with Franklin Hobbs, a good friend of mine who I started engineering for and worked at the station until he passed. And Howard Viken, who you may have heard on Saturday, was on the radio with us at KLBB. Chuck Lilligren, Paul Giel, Dr. William A. O'Brien, Jr., that is, Paul Stagg, who else? I know I'm probably leaving somebody else. Did I say Chuck Lilligren? It was a great time working with these absolutely fantastic people. If someone had told me when I was a kid that, you know, I'd end up working with some of the people I just thought so much of growing up, I would have said, yeah, sure. But it was true, and you couldn't have asked for out of all the people that I've had a chance to work with, one of the most gracious, accommodating individuals was Joyce Lamont. And we're going to be talking today about Joyce, remembering the past, and we're going to be playing audio clips. And unlike a lot of times where you're just going to hear a little snippet of Joyce's voice, we're going to play the complete clip. We've got some recipes here. Some Best Buys recipes, some special events news. We're going to play them in their entirety, including the old phone numbers and where to write for more information, so you can actually sit back and relive those times uninterrupted. I've got several. I have several recipes to choose from, and I was over the past week going through my archives at home and thinking, ooh, I like this one. And well, this one's good, too. And oh, wow, that one's a good. So we have several of the recipes. We'll probably play maybe two, maybe three of her Best Buy recipes. But first, I want to talk a little bit about how Joyce came to KLBB, and that was primarily responsible, first and foremost, Dee Larson of DPL Cruises, had officed at our radio station. Now, Dee knew Joyce from the CCO days, and Joyce had worked with Dee on promoting some trips and some cruises. So Dee and Joyce were fast, fast friends long before any of us had a chance to meet Joyce. And when Joyce was basically told she was going to retire from CCO, it was Dee's idea for her to come to KLBB. I mean, we already had Franklin Hobbs, and Dee was working with us, and it just seemed like a natural. Hobbs was a natural. Joyce would be perfect for a morning day starter. And so Dee Larson was instrumental in connecting the radio station, the folks here, myself, as well as Les Carroll, our general manager at the time, with meeting Joyce Lamont and getting her on the radio station. And on the line with me right now from Santa Barbara is Les's wife, Betty Carroll, who was our office manager at KLBB. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
Reed, it's Reed. It's, I know it's early, Betty, but...
Erling.
Yeah, it was, you know, you worked side by side with all of us and worked with Joyce pretty much on a daily basis. And she was a real treat to have at the radio station, both on and off the air.
Oh, she was an amazing just presence, you know. I mean, she just, I can't imagine this woman ever had a bad day. But if she did, she, you know, you could never tell.
Well,
she was just so warm and you know, she was lovely to work with. I can't say much more than that, but that's something to be said for people in radio.
That is that is true, as you well know. Les still in radio down in Santa Barbara, both in television and radio, and we would have loved to have him on this morning, but he's on a conference call with Fox News. So that was. I said, well, let's get Betty, your wife. So we talked to you for. I talked to you for a little bit yesterday. Now you told me a great story. About Joyce bringing in cookies. You wanna relate that?
You know what? Well, it was quite often, wasn't it? I mean, you know, well, not every day, but, you know, like, let's say about maybe once every week, week and a half, she'd bring in a bunch of chocolate chip cookies. And they were killer, weren't they?
Oh, they were.
They were tasty. And, so I kept asking her for the recipe, and she'd get all buttoned down about the whole thing and all secretive, okay? So I thought, okay, well, this is Joyce's little secret. We'll have to go along with that. But I just, you know, kept sort of hounding her for it. And one day, I mean, this is months later, I hadn't even said anything about the recipe, and she says, just go get some Duncan Hines. That's what I use. And I was so taken aback because I thought it was some, you know, lengthy, intricate recipe. And she'd been using a mix, okay? It just cracked me up.
So, yeah, instead of some secret recipe she'd had for years that was passed down, it was Duncan Hines.
Yes, it was. She would crack me up. She just had such aplomb, you know. She was just everybody's aunt, you know.
She was.
She was like, if you picture an aunt, that's who Joyce was.
You know, she was a human just like the rest of us. But what you heard on the air was what Joyce was like in real life. She was always gracious, very polite. I don't think I ever heard her swear.
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine. She was old school, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was so refreshing. It was refreshing with all the people that were at KLDB in those days. Well, except for me, but. Like Franklin and all of them, they were just lovely people, you know?
Franklin was very old school when it, you know, you never use foul language. I mean, he could use it in front of me, but it was like you never use it in front of a lady. And it wasn't in front of a woman, it was in front of a lady. I mean, that's the way they were raised.
Right. That's Franklin. He introduced me to the dirty martini, and I will never forget that adventure.
Speaking of that, I have to tell the story. Now, I had grown up listening to Joyce when I was a little kid. You know, my mom would be in the kitchen doing something. I'd be getting ready for school, and there was Joyce. You know, you'd be listening to the Arthur Godfrey show or whatever, and Joyce would talk. The first time I met Joyce, Les, your husband, who's general manager, I was program director, also on the air, and we're going to meet Joyce. Les hadn't met her yet. I think he'd talked to her on the phone. I hadn't talked to her on the phone. So we're going to meet Joyce to see if she's interested in working at our radio station. Now, for folks who don't know, we had already, when it was inevitable that Joyce was leaving WCCO, we had already come to an agreement for her to come to work for us. So if you ever heard a chance to listen to her last day at CCO, everybody made reference to, oh, you're going on to someplace else. They didn't say who that was, but we had already cut a deal with Joyce to come over to us. But Les and I are going to meet Joyce for lunch. And I can't remember what restaurant it was. It was some nice place like the Blue Horse or the Lexington or some, nice restaurant. So we're, talking and waiting for Joyce to show up. Now, Joyce, as a lot of people know, did not drive. She took a cab everywhere she went. And, of course, we're waiting for her to show up. And Les and I, this is no big secret, Les and I were both smokers. So we're smoking cigarettes, waiting for Joyce to show up. And we see her cab pull up. And she's going to, oh, quick, put out the cigarettes. We put out the cigarettes and we get in. Hello, Joyce. Oh, come in. We sit down and then we're, sitting at the table. And the waitress comes over and, I'm going to have coffee, and Les is going to have a Coca-Cola or whatever. And the waitress says to Joyce, what can I get you? And Joyce says, I'll have a Bloody Mary and easy on the mix, honey. So.
So, the last thing you would expect.
Right, okay? Right. But
I have a spot of tea or,
Yeah.
But she was one heck of a broad, and I say that in the most admiring kind way.
Mm-hmm.
She was just a class act.
She was. She could carry on a conversation with anybody. She was a terrific listener. She was just such a delight to work with, and the fact that she worked in radio, over 50 years. In fact, she was still making guest appearances on my show when she was 88 or 89.
And, oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So she was absolutely fantastic. Betty, I really appreciate you taking time to chat with us this morning. Give my best to Les and my love to Crystal, your daughter, and the cute little granddaughter. I saw those new pictures. She's a doll.
Oh, she is. Reed, I have to say, when I came to Minneapolis and KLBB, this was a complete change from the formats I had worked in. So I came from a rock and roll background, okay?
Sure.
And I just thought, oh my God, what's this going to be like, And it surprised me every day,
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I loved it. I loved the people. It was, the music was, the music would always take me back to when I was a kid in the kitchen with my mom making donuts or something in the kitchen, and she always had the radio on, and that radio was KLBB in a sense,
Yeah.
It was the comforting, the personalities were comforting and informative and humorous and smart, and, it just opened my eyes to the fact that there is life after 40. as I found out, you can stretch that a long way if you live right. And Joyce lived right,
Yes, she did, yes.
It's just a good person. God bless her that she had such a long life. We should all be that lucky.
Yes. Betty, thank you so much for taking time this morning.
Reed, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and my best to all of you.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. That's Betty Carroll, the wife of our general manager at the time, station manager, general manager Les Carroll, who unfortunately could not be with us this morning. He's down in Santa Barbara on a conference call with Fox Radio. So thanking Betty for taking time to reminisce about Joyce and what it was like to work with her in the offices at KLBB. I'm Reed Hagen. Glad to be back. We're doing a little tribute, a remembering of Joyce Lamont, and we're going to hear from Joyce when we come back. It's Diana Krall on The Breakfast Club on Club 14, KLBB, with Love Letters Straight from the Heart. Doesn't she have a nice voice, Joyce?
Lovely, yes. I like the song, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think who did it originally. Well, a lot of people have. A lot of people have done it through the years.
Yeah, very nice.
Sunny right now, 42 degrees. It's going to be breezy, about 55 for a high today. Reed Hagen along with Joyce Lamont, filling in for Pam and John Lindell on The Breakfast Club. They're down in New Orleans.
Whatever. Lovely city. I hope it's wrong, but I heard on the air the other day that it had been raining continuously in New Orleans for the last two or three days. I hope that's not true.
I
want them to have a nice sunny vacation.
Never been there. I'd love to.
Oh, it's fascinating.
You've been there.
Yes. Not for very long. I could always go back. But it's a beautiful city. It's fun.
Okay.
Lots of fun.
Hey, you had a couple of some special events you wanted to talk about.
This is a famous time of year for special events in the Twin Cities. Festival of Nations, that's a big one. And that opens Friday, and it runs through Monday, the 2nd of May, at River Center on Kellogg Boulevard in downtown St. Paul. Dozens of nations are represented in the festival with ethnic foods and dancing and exhibits. All the Byerly stores in the Twin Cities have tickets, and tickets will be available, of course, at the door, too. For information and time and so forth, we can call this number, Festival of Nations, and the number is 651-647-0191. Again, find out about the Festival of Nations that begins Friday. Call 651-647-0191. And here's something else that's fun. Art in Bloom, it's the annual flower show combining unusual floral displays and great artworks. And it starts Thursday at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, 3rd Avenue South and 24th Street. It is free, runs through the 2nd of May, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. each day. And here's the number to call about the Institute of Arts about Art in Bloom, 612-870-3131. Again, that's 612-870-3131. We'll have more of those for you a little bit later.
Speaking of In Bloom, when you were here, you always took care of all the plants that lined the windowsills.
Yes.
Since you've been gone, I think half of them are dead. Half
Good
of them died.
Heavens. Well, I'll call Art in Bloom and get some of their extras.
I think they need water more than once a month.
I rather think so, yes.
Reed Hagen along with Joyce Lamont on The Breakfast Club on KLBB. Sunshine, 42 degrees. That's Edie Gourmet, Blame It on the Bossa Nova on Club 14, KLBB. That was her biggest hit. Spent about almost 3 months on the charts back in the early to mid-60s. Heard Herb Alpert, Tijuana Brass as well. What's that, Joyce?
Bossa Nova? You say it
Blame It on the Bossa Nova.
Oh, loved it. Yes, that's nice.
You're looking at an old Time magazine I brought in.
Absolutely fascinating. Life for May 24th, 1937, and it cost 10 cents.
10 cents.
Great, big, beautiful magazine filled with fascinating
commercials. I like the old ads.
The old ads. Isn't this marvelous? I saw some perfectly handsome men's shoes in here for $9.50.
$9.50.
Florsheim, I think it was.
Florsheim.
Yeah, Florsheim shoes. Beautiful men's shoes. I mean, beautiful shoes for men, at $9.50. What would you pay for them now?
$99.50,
yes,
probably.
That's what I thought.
Sunshine in the Twin Cities, 42 degrees. Actually, it's not 42. We wish it was 42. Reed Hagen here. That is an unedited clip, as I mentioned a little bit earlier in the program. We're paying tribute to Joyce Lamont, KLBB Remembering Joyce Lamont, and it's my pleasure to be here today back on the air. And as I mentioned, we're going to be playing some audio clips and not editing or scoping them, as it's called, down, so you can get the feel for Joyce's special events and her chit-chat and her travel notes and more of the clips we'll be playing a little bit later. So you get a chance to kind of sit back and relive it as opposed to just a short little snippet. Here's Joyce's voice. Joyce was so much more than that. As I said, she was so much fun to work with. Joyce would come in the morning. I'll tell a quick story. This always amazed me. Joyce would come in, and I'd start at 6. She would start in the 7 o'clock hour. So I'd get to the station at about 5:30, quarter after 5, 5:30. Joyce would get to the station at 6 o'clock. And then she may or may not pop her head in and say hi, but then she'd go straight to her office, and she'd get to work and get things ready. And then at 7 o'clock, she would come in the studio, and we would say good morning and hello and do whatever we had to do, whatever that was scheduled for that particular hour, in addition to the music, which she just loved. She was tapping her toes all the time, or her pencil. And she'd do her events, her recipes, her travel notes, or updates, whatever the case. But all the time, she had both newspapers in with her, both the Star Trib and the Pioneer Press. And she had always opened them to the crossword puzzles, one in each. I think there were 3 total crossword puzzles, but there were 2 she always worked. One was the New York Times, and one was, I forget what the other one was called. I'm not a big crossword person. But we would sit there, and while the music's playing or I was doing something, Joyce would be just, you know, she'd have a, and she always did her crossword puzzles in pen. Never pencil. So she'd, and that's like the first sign of an expert at the crossword puzzle was when you do them in pen. But she would putz along and work on the crossword puzzles, and then she would finish up whatever she was doing for that particular hour. You know, it might be 10 in front of 8, and she'd say, okay, I'll be back next hour. We'll be doing such and such and so, and then she'd get up to leave. And she'd toss both papers in front of me as she walked out the door, and I'd look down, and in that 45-minute time span, she had done both crossword puzzles in their entirety in ink. It was like, how do you do that? Amazed me, both puzzles. Now, me, I would struggle over those for hours, but she'd have them both done. The one plus the New York Times one, which was supposedly I don't do crossword puzzles, which was supposedly harder. But she'd have those done, and she'd toss them in front of me and then walk out the studio, and I'd just look at those and be amazed. And she did all that in a 45-minute time span in between talking and, editing her copy and listening to the music and humming along. Speaking of music, and we were going to play some music as well. We're not just going to talk all the time. Joyce had some very particular favorites that we are going to be playing. But why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we'll listen to one of Joyce's favorite songs. It is 10:33 here at Club 1220 KLBB. Reed Hagen here. Glad to be back. And we're remembering Joyce Lamont, who passed away last week at the age of 98. And what a career she had. Over 50 years in radio, beginning with WCCO back in the late 1940s. Worked right up until 1989, and while she was still saying goodbye on WCCO, she was saying hello on KLBB, so it was pretty much uninterrupted without missing a beat. Joyce always loved music. She had this rare gift of knowing the lyrics to songs, which I've always had a problem with. She knew the song, she knew the lyrics. She'd sit in the studio and sing along with, I think, just about every song that we played, and she was a big fan of course, the standards, the songs by Sinatra, Dean Martin, Peggy Lee, and the rest. And there were two songs by Sinatra, one she absolutely detested, which we will not play, and that was It Was a Very Good Year. And I used to ask her, why don't you like that song? She goes, it's a dirty old man song. So that's how she thought of that song. So, but one of her favorite songs by Sinatra, and she'd always sing along with it in the studio, you're going to hear right now on KLBB.
They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out. You're on this date with me, the pickings have been lush, and yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners. You might refuse to stay. And so the best that I can do is pray. Be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight. Luck, let a gentleman see how nice a dame you can be. I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Luck be a lady with me. A lady doesn't leave her escort. It isn't fair. It isn't nice. A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dice. Let's keep this party polite. Never get out of my sight. Stick with me, baby, I'm the fella you came in with. Luck be a lady tonight. Let a gentleman see just how nice a dame you can be. I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Hey, luck be a lady with me. A lady doesn't leave her escort. It isn't fair, and it's not nice. A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dice. So let's keep the party polite. Never get out of my sight. Stick with me, baby, I'm the guy that you came in with. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady.
Sinatra, Luck Be a Lady on KLBB. Reed Hagen here. One of Joyce's favorite songs. Not her all-time favorite, probably not, but one she always did like in the studio. She'd always sing along. She got a big kick out of it. We're paying tribute, remembrance to Joyce Lamont, who worked with us for many, many years after leaving WCCO. And passing away last week at the age of 98. We've heard some of her on the air with me, as well as some special events. We have much more coming around, so if you've just joined us, don't go anywhere. In fact, call a friend, let them know. We're going to be going for a couple of hours here, and we're going to be doing some Best Buys recipes, some travel notes, and much, much more. Want to talk a little bit about, everybody knows Joyce from the radio, but what was she like in real life? Well, as you heard Betty talk and myself and other people, she was always an extremely gracious individual, and that was very sincere. There was nothing phony about Joyce. As she said, she was glad to meet you. She really was. I mean, she couldn't wait to get out to the state fair to hand out recipes or to talk. She just got a kick when people came up to her and talked to her. But age was a big issue with Joyce. It's very touchy about her age. And, you know, you didn't, I didn't know exactly how old Joyce was. Well, this is the story that Joyce had related to me was back at WCCO, she did a program called Dayton's Musical Chimes. Now, that program started in the late 1920s, and it was actually it was started with Belle Winston, who was a buyer at Dayton's. Belle did the program. She was the Dayton reporter, they called her. Well, a male announcer would come on, and he'd start the show. It's, you know, it's time for Dayton's Musical Chimes, and here is your Dayton reporter. Well, Belle Winston was the reporter, but she didn't say her name. She just, I don't know, maybe women were just not that important back then, as they didn't think so. But she would do her reporting on what was new at Dayton's in between songs. And they had many sound-alikes, so when Belle would take some time off or whatever, they wanted someone to be able to step in and sound just like her. Well, eventually, Joyce did step in for Belle in the late 40s and then took over the show in the last portion of the last couple of years or so. It was on the air, so this would confound Joyce to no end. We'd be at the state fair, and a little old man would walk up to Joyce and say, "I listened to you in my mom's kitchen, and you got me on the bus." And Joyce would, no, that's not me, you. And she'd try to explain that her voice sounded the same. No, you were, I listened to you when I was growing up and going to school. And finally Joyce just said, "Oh, okay, thank you." And she was gracious about it. Eventually, it shocked me, and it shocked Joyce. People would come up. We'd be at the fair, and someone would walk up and say, "Oh, you're Joyce Lamont? Oh, you've been around for a long time." And she'd, "Yes, I was at WCCO." "Yeah, how old are you?" And she was just floored. It's like, "How old are you?" And Joyce's pat answer was, "Oh, honey, don't ask me that." And then she'd giggle or chuckle and then walk away, and then she'd come in the studio or the booth at the fair, and she'd throw her pen down on the table. But that's about as mad as I ever saw Joyce get. I'm Reed Hagen. You're listening to KLBB, remembering Joyce Lamont.
Hi, I'm Joyce Lamont. You're listening to Pam Lundell and The Breakfast Club, where the coffee pot is always on.
And joining us right now, currently working at KTIS, Pam Lundell. Hi there, Pam.
Hey, good morning, Reed. Oh, it's so great to hear Joyce introducing the old Breakfast Club, and it's great to hear you on KLBB.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you worked with Joyce. It was really fun the way you came over, because at the time, Minnesota News Network, MNN, had their news station, and also our station, and you were primarily on the news side of it to start out as. I'd see you in the morning, and you were basically on the other frequency just doing all the newscasts and cut-ins.
Mm-hmm. And then I said, I need to go over where the fun people are and come over to KLBB. But, you know, Reed, we have to go back probably about 12 to 15 years when I very first started working with Joyce Lamont, alongside Joyce Lamont, I should say, because I had just graduated from high school. And it was in the early 80s. I mean, imagine being 18, 19 years old. And I walked up to WCCO Radio and I said, I want to work here. And I got put in the accounting department, putting together the deposits from advertising. And then I'd go to the University of Minnesota for classes later on in the afternoon. And just imagine back in those days, I mean, being that age and then working with Boone and Erickson and Joyce Lamont and Steve Cannon. And it was absolutely mind blowing.
Yeah, I'll bet. I never had the chance. I have met many of those folks over there and then knew some quite well who came to work at the KLBB. But, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, and I know you weren't able to listen because you were still on the air at your station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone had told me that, I mean, when you're a kid, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? Well, you know, I want to be a policeman or a fireman or a movie star or a magician, or I want to be on TV or I want to be in radio. And then the thought of while I'm going to Brown Institute, as it was called at that time, getting a job at KLBB, and within a couple of years, sitting alongside these folks that I grew up with, just thinking the world of, is very rare and very humbling.
Oh, absolutely. And even though I loved attending the University of Minnesota, I learned so much from working there, which propelled me into my career. But, you know, Joyce was such an important part of it. And I know it's been said many times, but every radio station literally has, and I won't use the phrase, I think it was used mother hen, but kind of like a den mother.
Mm-hmm.
We have one at KTIS. Her name is Kathy. Love her to pieces. And Joyce Lamont took care of us. There were several of us, you know, young single gals that were working there at the time in the early 80s. And besides doing what she did so well and sounding so great on the air, she took care of us. She was literally and seriously interested in our lives and what we were doing. And I know a couple times she had it invited us over to her home for a dinner, Joyce Lamont's home. Can you imagine? Again,
right. Yeah.
Back at that age. And before she was at River Place, she lived at the high rise by Lake Calhoun. And I remember going and just thinking, this is a dream. I'm living like a dream. I'm going to Joyce Lamont's home. And she was so wonderful and always so gracious.
Oh.
As you mentioned many times. And then, you know, you said at CCO she was receiving up to 10,000 letters a month. And that was back in the day when I actually worked in the mailroom. That was part of my duties as this young person working in radio. And there was no email. That's how old I am, Reed. and just, you know, of shuttling many of those packages and letters to her. And she was just so sweet. And she literally answered every one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she, and I would see, she'd write, somebody would, you know, ask for the recipe or write a letter. And she'd clip the envelope, and then she'd write up in the corner in her pen, sent, which means she sent the recipe or whatever they had requested. I mean, she made a little notation on all the mail she got just to make sure that she, you know, properly answered everything.
very meticulous, but you played, you know, that little piece earlier, and I've been listening to KLBB all weekend, and just to hear that voice, I mean, you know, what a pioneer and what an encouragement to so many that came after her as well. And as you mentioned, she was always interested in what we did in our lives, and then when John and I were doing, John Lundell, my late husband, were doing the KTIS morning show, that's when I got to work with Joyce again, which was like 10, 15 years later. So instead of having that beautiful black hair she had when I remembered her from before, we had stayed in touch, but you know, she had that beautiful blonde hair, call it blonde hair, and was still the same gracious Joyce. But we had Westies at the time, and she loves animals, you know that. That's
oh,
one of her.
yes.
Oh, I tell you what, she just loved any type of animal, and we had two little Westies, Gidget and Gomer, and cracked me up every day. I'd come to work at KLBB, and she would have cut out any pictures she'd seen of a Westie, and she'd tape it to my file cabinet, so I knew Joyce was there.
Yeah, she,
just so wonderful.
We had, when our studios were by our transmitter on Frontenac, there was a stray cat for a couple of years that lived in the neighborhood, but I would pull up at 5:30 in the morning, and that cat was outside, and quite often he'd be standing, staring at the front door, and then he'd see the car drive by, my car, and I think he eventually recognized the sound, because then he'd run around to the back parking lot, and I'd come out of the car, and he'd see that it was me, and then he'd run to the back door. We'd let him in, and Dee Larson from DPL Cruises, who had, she loves cats, had an office at our studios. She had cat food in her office, so I would run back there and open the can of cat food, and the cat would eat it. And then he went and sat on one of the chairs in the lobby after he was done eating, and he waited for Joyce. When Joyce walked in at a little past six, he perked, you know, he was kind of sleeping on the chair. I mean, he'd been out all night waiting for someone to show up at the radio station. His ears would perk, and when she opened that door at the end of the hallway, that long hallway we had at the Frontenac, he'd see her, and she'd say, "Oh, hello, Mittens," and he'd run halfway down the halfway down the hall, and then boom, fall on his side and lay there with his stomach sticking up. And she'd come in carrying her briefcase and purse and bend over and scratch him on the stomach, and then he'd pop up and she'd run and sit in the chair in the lobby for a minute or two, and he'd pop up on the chair and she'd pet him, and then she'd go into her office, and then he'd disappear. He didn't care for anybody else. He just liked Dee, Joyce, and myself, and then he'd disappear and hide out the rest of the day on my chair under my desk until he went out in the afternoon. So, yeah.
You know, Reed, that's when I first started working at KLBB. I was just kind of started at Frontenac, and then it moved downtown. But I remember meeting Mittens, and, yeah, he wanted nothing to do with me. He just loved you guys and actually was a neighborhood cat. He went home at night. Just want everyone to know that the cat was cared for at night.
But he'd be waiting for me in the morning.
Yes. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, she just had a big heart for animals and, you know, specifically cats, you know, I know towards the end of her life. But, you know, I went to Joyce's memorial service, Reed, on Friday, and it was so beautiful.
Yes.
Just to know that in the last years of her life that she was surrounded with so much love and she had so much faith, and the service was beautiful. Probably, I think, one of the more beautiful memorial services that I've ever been to.
You know, you talk about Joyce being such a, you called her a mother hen or everybody's mom or everybody's aunt, and really a caring individual. She was like that. As Betty Carroll, our old office manager, a little earlier in the program, was talking about how Joyce would bring cookies in every week and a half or so, chocolate chip cookies. I was never a big one for sweets in the morning. Occasionally, I'd have a cookie, but you know, I just not too much sugar for me in the morning. I'd stick to my coffee. And one day, I'll never forget. One day, she did one of her Best Buy's recipes was for cornbread, and I said to her, "I said, now Joyce, that's what you could bring in for me in the morning is cornbread." She goes, "Oh, you'd like cornbread?" I said, "I love cornbread." And I don't know if it was the next day, but it was within a day or so. And you, as you know, Joyce didn't drive. She always came by cab. The cab pulls up. Joyce gets out. She comes into the studio. Still warm in the pan is cornbread she baked that morning. An entire pan, along with a stick of Land O'Lakes butter, a plate, and a knife.
Oh, yeah. Everything was covered. And probably a lovely napkin as well.
Yes.
Oh, she was just literally one of a kind, you know, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, when back the first time I worked with her at CCO, too, she was always so beautiful and so professional. And I kind of took that with me, trying to, you know, getting up at 4 o'clock and making sure that your socks match and stuff. That's difficult for me. But she always looked so beautiful, too. I mean, she just, you know, took such great care of herself. And I think just passed that on to so many people as well.
Yeah, she was. She was really one of a kind that hard to replace. I don't think I've... Certainly not in this business. I don't think I've, no offense, Pam, but I don't think I've met anybody like
I tell you what,
like
I have to agree with you. That's for sure. It's like a bygone era, I think. And I'm sure, you know, I wasn't able to listen to the early part of the show, Reed, but I'm sure you talked about how much she loves sports as well.
I was going to mention she ran the office pool. Yep, she had it posted on her door.
From the early 80s, when I, you know, younger, you know, working at CCO, then those years went by, and then I came and worked with you at KLBB after the Minnesota News Network, and she was still collecting the money and keeping track of it, and it was football and it was basketball.
That's right. And Joyce would come in the studio Monday morning, and she'd say, oh, you're the winner, or, you know, here's your money, and it was a dollar, you know, we all put a dollar in or whatever, and then... She kept care of all the money and ran the pool and kept up on everything. So she was just your mom, but a regular guy.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, Reed. That's hilarious. And then you and I, we were both at her retirement from KLBB. Was that in 2003? I think we have some pictures. You posted one on your Facebook site with her, and I have one. I was honored to be there and say a few words, too, when she officially retired from radio. And I believe that was like in 2003. And again, she was so humble and that beautiful voice and just feeling, oh, it's just not about me. But, you know, that's what you love about Joyce.
She was a peach. Pam, thank you so much for sharing some of your memories with us this morning.
Oh, I am honored, Reed. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
That's Pam Lundell, who was on The Breakfast Club on KLBB, now working at KTIS, and sharing a little bit of working with Joyce and what a great gal Joyce was. Here's another song Joyce loved piano music, anything melodic. She liked this version of Frankie Carl's Deep Purple. This will take us to news time.
Hi, I'm Joyce Lamont. You're listening to the only station in the Twin Cities that plays music no other station does, Sinatra, Nat King Cole, and Dean Martin, KLBB.
And we are back. Reed Hagen here. Glad to be back. And remembering Joyce Lamont here on KLBB Radio. We've had a fun first hour, talked with some folks. Much more coming up this hour as we continue our remembrance of Twin Cities broadcaster Joyce Lamont, who was in the radio biz for over 50 years. You have to stop and think that a lot of people in their entire career as an adult, going from jobs as paper boy to or paper girl, whatever, news carrier, I guess you'd call it now, working at a convenience store, a restaurant, and 17 other jobs along the way. Joyce basically held, well, two. One was copywriting and then announcing, and she did that for over 50 years and worked into her late 80s. In fact, was her last appearance on my show. She was, I believe, 89 at the time, and Joyce passing away last week at 98. We miss her, and putting together these clips over the past couple of days, it really hits home for me how much fun we had together and how much I do miss her. Wanted to talk about her Best Buys show. She started this on WCCO, continued it on KLBB. She did receive thousands and thousands of letters asking for copies of her recipes, which we printed up. And they were available at Byerly's and Lund stores, if I recall correctly. Joyce would have her recipes. She'd print those up, have those printed up once a month, and you could pick those up at the participating grocery store, or just send a stamped self-addressed envelope to her at the station, and she'd fold one up and put it in the envelope and mail it out for you, which, by the way, she did herself. Nobody else did that. No, there was no secretary sitting for Joyce in her office with a box of unopened mail, ripping those open and asking, or putting recipes in and mailing them out. Joyce did all that herself, walked down to the front desk, dropped them all in the box to go out with the next day's mail. She was a lot of fun to work with, and her recipes, you name it, she could talk about it. We're going to talk about her recipes a little bit more, but let's hear one of her Best Buy shows on KLBB.
Our show is brought to you today by Old Home Foods. That's Old Home, the freshest place in the dairy case. Now, here are the fresh fruits and vegetables that are good buys at your store this week. They include apples and cranberries, pears, bananas, tangerines, oranges and grapefruit, kiwi fruit, melons and grapes. And all of these fresh vegetables, potatoes, sweet potatoes and yams, onions, rutabaga, zucchini, broccoli and Brussels sprouts, green onions and radishes, cabbage, lettuce, squash, carrots, beets, mushrooms, celery, and cauliflower. And I'll be back in just a moment with today's recipe for an easy turkey casserole. Here is another of those good casserole dishes calling for leftover turkey. And this one serves six, has only five ingredients. The first step is to crush enough potato chips to make 3 cups of crumbs and put half of those in a greased 2-quart casserole and set it aside. Then, in a large saucepan, combine 3 cups of diced cooked turkey, a can of cream of chicken soup, a cup of milk, and a half teaspoon of salt, and put the pan over medium heat. When it reaches to the boiling point, pour it over that crumb layer in the casserole and top it with the rest of the potato chip crumbs, a half cup of shredded cheddar cheese, and just a sprinkling of paprika, and put the dish in a 350-degree oven to bake for 25 minutes, and serve that with a green vegetable or salad and cranberry sauce. 6 servings, easy turkey casserole. Here it is once again. You crush enough potato chips to make 3 cups of crumbs, put half of those in a greased 2-quart casserole, then set it aside. In a large large saucepan, combine 3 cups of diced cooked turkey, a can of cream of chicken soup, a cup of milk, and a half teaspoon of salt. And you put the pan over medium heat, and when it reaches the boiling point, pour it over that crumb layer in the casserole, top it with the rest of the potato chip crumbs, a half cup of shredded cheddar cheese, and just a sprinkling of paprika, and put the dish in a 350-degree oven to bake for 25 minutes. Serve that with a green vegetable or salad and cranberry sauce. 6 servings, easy turkey casserole. The Best Buys recipes for December will be printed and available next month. For free copies of these or free copies of past month's recipes, send a stamped self-addressed business size envelope to me, Joyce Lamont, KLBB, 331 11th Street South, Minneapolis, 55404. Our show brought to you today by Old Home Foods. That's Old Home, the freshest place in the dairy case.
Oh, man, it seems like just yesterday that I was sitting next to Joyce when she was doing those recipes. Don't write. Unfortunately, we can't send those out to you. But as I said at the beginning of the program, I wanted to include it in its entirety so you could hear everything from the Best Buys and fruits and vegetables, the full recipe, and Joyce asking for your mail so she could mail that out to her. You name it, she had it. Everything from dessert recipes to casseroles, pretty much everything. As Joyce knows, or knew, I'm not much of a cook. I did have a good chili recipe of my own. I like chili. And, before that, I'll tell you, when I first started working with Joyce and she started doing the Best Buy shows with me, after a short time, she'd do her recipe, and then she'd always say, "Well, what do you think?" Or she, "And that's our recipe, and send your stamp and self-address envelope." And there you go, read. And, you know, "Oh, great recipe. Sounds fabulous, Joyce. It's wonderful, Joyce." And I did this day after day after day. And, I mean, obviously, there were recipes I was not real fond of. So, and I didn't say anything to her. And one day she did a recipe, and I don't recall what it was, but it had every ingredient that I detested: mayonnaise and celery and tuna fish and avocado. I don't know. It was terrible. It was the most unappealing, to me at least. So she got all done with this recipe, and she said to me, "And that's our recipe, and how do you like that, Reed?" I said, "That's horrible. That's be the worst recipe I've ever heard you give." And she looked at me dumbfounded and didn't say anything, got up, didn't even turn off her microphone, just dropped her pen on the counter and walked out the door. And I thought, "Oh, crap, I really blew it this time." So we went into music, and I went into her office right away, and she started to say, "The nerve." I said, "Joyce, no, nothing against you." I said, "Joyce, my mom listens to the show. She knows I would never in 1,000 years touch that stuff." And I said, "I'm being honest. I can't, you know, if I love it, I'll tell you. If it's okay, it's okay." I said, "That doesn't mean it's a good recipe or bad. It's other." And she says, "You know, you're right. You're right." So about once a week, she'd come in, and I'd say, "What's our recipe for today, Joyce?" And she'd say, "This is one you're just not going to like at all. You're just going to hate this one because it has in it, and it's got in it, and it's got And she'd do it, and then she'd say, "Well, what did you think?" I said, "You're right. I didn't like it, but I'm sure our listeners will." So we had a lot of fun with that from that point on. As I said, she rarely got mad. That was one of the few times that I think it just caught her so off guard. She didn't really know what to say. Then she went out of the studio. But we had a lot of fun. She did do a chili recipe one time, and she knows I love chili, and that's about the only thing I can make. And she would proofread her. This is before computers and, you know, spell check and all that stuff. So she would type up her recipes, then she would proofread them to make sure the spelling and grammar was absolutely perfect. Well, one time the spelling was perfect, the grammar was perfect, it was a great recipe for chili, except she left out an entire line. She forgot to include the line about putting beans. And so she proofread it. Grammatically, it was correct. It was just missing one ingredient. The recipes went out, and within a couple of days, we started getting phone calls.